All right. Hello and welcome back to Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. That is me. I am your host. And we're back for Fight Camp Week 2 of 2021. And I am delighted to be joined by James Jazza Dickens, one half of Saturday's main event for the IBF World Featherweight title. Jazza, how are you, brother?
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. It's an honor, man. And you're looking really clean, man.
Dapper, as they say up here in Essex.
Yeah, you're looking really dapper, man. You look great. Where'd you get your suit? Is that a Liverpool creation?
That's just someone's washing line. I say dapper as they up here in Essex, but we just take them off washing lines from where they're from.
I'll tell you, you know, like some guys, if you wear a suit and it's not fitted right to you, it looks like you could have a court date, but you know, you look proper in that. You look Wall Street.
Last time when I was in a black suit, Eddie said, "Did you get the job?" I said, "What were you talking about?" He said, "The glass collecting job."
So you're from Liverpool, and I mean, if anyone that is on here can't hear your accent immediately, you're a Scouser. How much time do you spend outside of Liverpool?
Not much, really. Not much, only for sparring. Go out to spar. Wherever my camp would be, that would be where I spend the majority of my time, you know. So, I'm lucky. Everything around my house is I've got Carl Evans University, sports science. John Moores University building over the road, the gym's over the road, strength conditions over the road. So everything's within like a mile radius. So I like to stay within my confines like that. I like to get out because I have traveled the world and I know there's more out there. But yeah, when I'm in camp, it's four walls, that's all.
You're pretty happy in your area?
Oh yeah, the area I'm from. It's a nice place to grow up and my kids now live there. I went to the same school that my dad went to and my mum went to, so the village people aren't me.
What? How many kids do you have?
Three.
Wow, you got three kids. What are their ages?
12, 6, and 5.
That keeps you busy, right? That's a full-time job.
I'm lucky, really, very lucky. Boxing is my job. Miguel, she deals with the kids, so I'm very lucky to have someone who takes the pressure off me in that way, you know.
Yeah, you are very fortunate for that, to have a great missus.
I've seen them one time in the last 5 weeks, one day, the last 5 weeks, you know.
That's got to be hard for you.
It is challenging, but this is my choice, you know. What can you say? It's a killer. I hope they know that it was, I hope it works out for them as well as me, because they don't sacrifice for them. They sacrifice for me, because this is my dream and my ambition, so I hope that it works for them.
I hear what you're saying, but I think it's a sacrifice on both ends, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard for you, too.
Yeah, you can put it like that, but I think a lot of people say, you know, like to take the pump the chest out and say I'm the dad who does this and that, but the truth is I'm selfish and I've been doing this all my life, so that shows that it was never for them, it was never for anyone, it was for me, so I hope it works for them too.
You know, there's one thing I admire about you. You know, so Liverpool in a way is kind of like Brooklyn, we're like brother sister cities. You know, we're kind of the underdogs, right? Like, we have Manhattan. Obviously, you guys have London or Manchester, these other cities that are kind of bigger. And so Liverpool kind of takes the piss, whereas sometimes Brooklyn does also, when you're looking at, like, a place like Manhattan. But one thing about people from Brooklyn, we keep it real. And Scousers are kind of very similar. That's one reason why I love that town. And you're very much like that. You know, I hear you talking about different things in boxing, and you say, you know what I mean? This is all just smoke and mirrors. And tell us a little bit about that.
The bullshit show. That's what it is. Exactly what it is. And it took me a long time to figure it out, because when I was a little boy, when I used to watch the people on the telly, you can grow up with a bit of, these people on the telly aren't your identity, but then you flip it around, you look, you are that person all of a sudden, but you still don't feel like you're that person. No one ever feels like that person. It's just a bullshit show, isn't it? So the people orchestrating the party, and you're just a part of it. Do you know what I mean? It's a tough one to explain, because when I was a child, if I heard someone, I asked Carl Froch when I was a kid, what was it like winning that belt, that WBC world title there? And he went, it was all right. And it broke my heart. You know what I mean?
Leave it to Carl.
I was like,
leave it to the sheriff of Nottingham to break a kid's heart. Yeah, big shout out to Carl. That's great. Go ahead. Tell me more, though. I don't mind. That's just funny, but go ahead. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but
I
tell
was
me.
Getting ready for this big story. It was all right. And he just like walked away as he said it. And I thought, is that it? It's got to be more than that. Do you know what I mean? So anyone who is a world champion who come in contact with, I always say, what was it like? And you get different stories. Tony Bellew uses like, thank God. This is like your dreams come true at that moment. If I could retire there and then, but that sort of thing, you know what I mean? It's just like, because experience was just
deflated you. Just,
it was bad. And he won't remember. He's obviously like, everyone was trying to ask him, you know what I mean? He's probably just not willing to tell the story again. So he just said that it was all right. But I'm sure it was his dreams come true. I don't know, but.
Hasn't seemed to deter you, though.
No, because I always follow what I know how I feel.
Yeah.
But yet I still don't know how I feel.
You're a tough bastard. You keep going.
I've got 3 days to go. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I say Carl's a tough bastard because if he thought it was all going to be all right before he won a world title, why did he keep going? It's going to be amazing.
He is a tough bastard. Yeah, but I think it would be amazing if it happens. But there's, even though you're this close, you're still so far away, right? Like it's a big fight to happen. And we're obviously alluding to the main event on Saturday night, which is against Kid Galahad for the IBF Featherweight Championship of the World. This is obviously a rematch from your fight about 8 years ago. Yep. Most probably everyone has seen the fight. And, you know, I'll tell you, really interesting fight. I can't wait to see the fight Saturday. It's very interesting because I think that over the years, both of you are different fighters. And I know you've said it and Kid said it too, but do you really believe that it has no bearing on what's going to happen Saturday? The previous fight.
I can't see in what way it would. How does it affect?
Maybe mentally, strategically. I guess more mentally.
It could only have a lasting effect mentally because, as you see, like human beings with a new body all the time. Do you know what I mean? We're probably three new bodies each. Do you know what I mean? There's probably not one part of us is the same as on that night. Do you know what I mean? The memories are the same. But the mental approach to it is probably the only lasting effect that you could have. So,
and has it had any on you?
No, but for him, it could be the very same. He could be hoping that it stays the same as that night. He could hope that we go in there where we left off. But I can't go in there where we left off, do you know what I mean? So for me, it's just a different fight. It had to be. I had to rebuild myself and get stronger before this happens again.
I mean, what makes it so intriguing, and there's so many things that make this an intriguing fight. First of all, there was not much between you guys in that first fight until the stoppage. It was a really close fight. It really was. It was pretty brilliant to watch. And both of you guys have fought for world titles before. You both come up short. Yep. So you guys both want it so bad. And you guys both have such belief in yourself. And you're both complete gym rats. I mean, the work ethic, from what I understand, between the two of you, I mean, there's just nothing to choose from there. You guys are both every day going at it. So it's two freight trains coming head to head.
Yeah, he probably feels the same day, but it's like there's no one in the world. There's nobody in boxing who's give what I've give. Nobody. I'm talking about anybody in the situation. I was thinking last night, is there anyone here who can outwork me? And there's not. That's even the man who's done it all together. Eddie and his dad, I really believe me work ethic is it. And that's a serious statement, but the what I give for the sport, it's unbelievable.
The godfather of Merseyside boxing, Georgie Vaughn. That's what he says.
Yeah.
He says, and he's worked with everybody. And he said, no one works as hard as you do. He said your resting heartbeat is, 32 beats per minute? Is that true? That's crazy.
Lower than that.
That's insane if that's true. Yeah. Just in top physical shape.
Yeah. That was then. That was halfway through camp when he said that. So it was coming down. So it's lower than that. It's like,
what does Georgie mean to you?
Special. He's got this way about him now. I don't know. It's like a, when you say the Manhattan Brooklyn thing, it's a scouse thing. Maybe somebody else wouldn't get it. I don't know. He's got this way about him. I can't even tell you. I can't tell you.
Try.
I'll be kicking my own feet trying to find the words. You know what I mean, I can't put it into place what the words were.
Has he been like a father figure to you?
No, because I've got a father. I've got friends. He's been a coach. You know what I mean? what a coach is supposed to be. That's what he's been. A good coach, a true coach, you know, a professional coach. Yeah, he shows that he's in it with you. We're on the hills. He's 83 years old. We're on the hills of the morning.
6 a.m., yeah?
Yeah, and you've seen Everton Hills?
Ever
been there? Everton Hills?
Sure.
He's going up to himself next year. And like people say sometimes, like, he's not very vocal, is he? But he doesn't have to be, because we work so hard together. It's a nod. It's a look of the eye. We know that look. We've got a good connection, don't you mean? It's a connection. We've got a good connection, and not everyone has that. You can have great coaches, but if it doesn't click, it doesn't click, do you know what I mean? I've got a great coach, and it does click.
What about another Scouse legend, Derry Matthews?
It's fantastic, because he knows, he gets it, because he was coached by George. He was with Georgie from the age of 17, I think he was, 18, turning pro. So it's like, he knows what it is to be with George. So one time we were all in the hills, Derry came with us once, and I was watching Derry and Georgie walking down them as I was coming back down off my last hill, and I was looking at them thinking, I wish Derry repeated itself. Will it ever be? will Derry ever pass on? It'll be me and George.
Right.
With another young fighter. So, yeah, it's a great, great relationship. And I've said this many times before, but growing up, I had posters on my bedroom wall. As I said, the bullshit show, I had all these posters on the wall, looking at these fighters to be on these posters. And Derry was on loads of them. They had the old fight school posters, yeah. I had them on my wall. I had many fighters on my wall, but yeah, Derry was one of them. He was like a local legend, world champion from round by Haas.
And now he's in your corner.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's fascinating.
Let me ask you that, as the young kid talking to Carl Froch, how does that feel?
You can't buy it. You can't buy it. You can. There's nothing. If that's your, if that's the area in life that you want to fulfill your ambitions and desires, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. Do you know what I mean? I'm living my dreams in many ways. I haven't chopped them off by winning a world title, but it took a long time to. It's trial and error to get a team. And I've got a great team around me. We've got Carl Evans, who's the sports scientist and nutritionist and strength and condition coach. Derry, as you said, Georgie, Tony Bellew, he speaks for himself. I've got just me family, just to have these people around me. And I think they're supporting me, do you know what I mean? That's a bit strange. They're all supporting me. Wow. So it's everything. If you can find that in life, not just in boxing, in any area at all, you're a lucky, lucky man.
When you were a kid, you talk about having these posters on the wall, and you said you did have a father, which I know you do. Obviously, you had a mother, too. And this has been documented, that your parents struggled with addiction when you were young. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that was like growing up?
Same as it will be for you. The kids who are going through it now. It doesn't stop. Never stops. Just moves on to another drug. What was it, 80s, 90s, heroin, ecstasy, moving on to weed, moving on to cocaine, going on to different drugs now, aren't they, like spice, in the jails and stuff like that. It just never stops. It's, people will always find ways to help them through the pain, and that's what it is. It's just that it's a coping mechanism.
Self-medicating.
Yeah. God bless these people, you know what I mean? It's not personal.
But
addiction is the most selfish thing in the world. They don't mean to do it to the people around them. That's what addiction is. Addiction will take everything that you've got from you. But we were lucky enough to have the strength to love each other all the way through.
It's a beautiful thing, but it's a very, very difficult thing. I mean, as a kid, how did it make you feel? How did you get through that?
I'm still learning. I'm still finding ways now. How to get through it. I developed my own coping mechanisms. Swore I never touched a drug in my life, never have. But I developed my own coping mechanism.
Do you think it's maybe training, boxing?
Yep. Yeah, why does a 12-year-old kid go to the gym and get punched in the face and come home enjoying it? Why? Why does he enjoy being inside the fight? Why? Not the glory of winning or the kudos of being a fighter. Why does he enjoy getting punched in the face, trading leather, getting stung, getting buzzed, and coming back. Why does he enjoy that? Do you know what I mean? That's dysfunctional, to say the least, if you think about it like that. It took me years to figure that out. Am I willing to drop my character defects that I've developed? No, because most of us aren't. I'm not, you know, we cling to our character defects like anything, don't we? They're our most precious source of survival. So that's mine, fighting.
I think what you just said is extremely deep, and I think it's really real, and I think I understand it more than you know. Thank you for sharing that. You spent some time out in the States with a buddy of mine, actually, Dino. You know Dino?
Dino Spencer?
Yeah, Dino, yeah. Down at the Fifth Street Gym in Miami. What a place.
Yeah, good guy.
How was that?
It was just fantastic. It was all right.
Hey.
It was absolutely fantastic.
You're talking to a Yank here.
It was an amazing experience. Also, it weren't just Dino. It was also Chiro Perez, who was training there. I don't know if you met Chiro Perez at the 50 gym.
Uh-huh.
Loads of good people there. Coach Guy in the 50 gym. There's just so many people. Mad Josh Dempsey, the grandson of Jack Dempsey. Loads of great people there in the gym. And they looked after me because I needed help at the time. There was no fights coming up. I lost 3 fights. No one was working with me. Last time I fought on a matching show was probably about 9 years ago. Stunk the place out and then didn't fight here since. It's a business. It's been a hard road. But as I say, it's the bullshit show when I'm back here. I'm back on the bullshit show because I've worked hard. Don't think that when I'm saying the bullshit show, it means a negative thing. It means it's an amazing experience for me to be here. Do you know what I mean? But it's hard work to get here, take part of the show. It's like, when the fight got announced, I go back to the USA story, but when the fight got announced, it's like, who's this fella fighting? You know what I mean? Who are these people? It's like when we watch a soap episode, a new character comes on. It's like, who's this? It's not Pat Butcher and Peggy Mitchell, do you know what I mean? Who are these new characters? And that's what it's like, getting onto the show, do you know what I mean? And fans know what they want, and they know what the faces are, they're willing to, they want to see, they tune in to see, and when you bring a new character in now, I want to stay. I want to remain a character on the bullshit show. Do you know what I mean? But that's what people are like. But when I went to Miami, it was the opposite. It was tough. It was tough.
It ended kind of abruptly. Can you tell us about that?
12 men in the room in the hostels. It's just a mad. It's probably the nicest place in the world to live. But when you don't live there and you don't reside there and you've got nothing in your pocket and your family at home, they're waiting for you to come back with an opportunity, it's tough, do you know what I mean? I was going in gyms and I was slugging it out. I had over 100 rounds of sparring in 8 weeks. All I wanted to do was grab an opportunity, do you know what I mean? I was lucky to have Dino and coach Chiro Perez to guide me and to help me. And they cared for me, and that was... I still thank them now. I miss them now. I thank them for the care that they showed me, because they could have just been another number. But yeah, man, Chiro's every day picking me up, taking me to the gym, dropping me off. He got food, you know what I mean? Feeding me.
I'm looking
grown,
after you.
Grown man, do you know what I mean? They got me sponsorships. Shout out to the guy who sponsored me too. He's just kind, really, really kind people. I would say it was an act of God, because when you give everything up, you've got 3 kids and you leave your own country with $26, what's what I arrived with? I left with about £80 with no accommodation, nothing. You know, like, how am I going to eat? Just got to Portugal. I went with a one-way ticket and got to Portugal on a midway stop. And he said, where's your ticket to get up? Where's your ticket back? And I said, they haven't got a ticket back. And he said, you can't get on a plane then. So it was... Even at the start of the journey, I was trapped in Portugal because you can't travel on a one-way ticket, but you can from England. So it was just from the off. It was just like, I was stuck in the airport. I didn't have money to come home back to England. Do you know what I mean? So my next month's sponsorship to go to America, we used that for the flight to America to get a return flight back. And it's just like, that's boxing for you, though. I was poor as the man on the street, but felt rich in the gym. Do you know what I mean? That is boxing. It doesn't matter like you're white or black or blue. It's just boxing's boxing. If you're good, you're rich.
Sometimes you're black and blue. Yeah, sometimes you're black and blue.
In my case, mostly white, black and blue, aren't I? Yeah, so it's like, you're rich. And that's what I always found. Boxing took me out of a life of like a family of addiction. It gave me a great life. But when I was in America, it was just on repeat. Maybe it was my paradigm. Maybe I had to get off the ride, you know what I mean? And that's where I'm saying. There's a deeper meaning. When I say the bullshit job, my paradigm was repeating over and over and over, and I had to get off it at some point, and I have. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm not going through that whole life cycle again, because a lot of people don't go, they don't end up far from where they started off in life, do you know what I mean? Unless they make changes, and I had to make changes in my life, in my mindset, in my mentality to say, you don't have to stop living like that. You want to be a world champion, you need to fucking feel like a world champion, you need to live like a world champion, you need to attract goodness into your life like a world champion. Although it was a great experience, it was a poverty experience, you know what I mean? But I'm not living in that poverty paradigm anymore, because I lived in it for like 28 years of my life, you know what I mean? And now I've started attracting goodness in my life and just having that mindset. I can see how things change. You probably think I'm talking a bit wacky here, because what's he on? But it's a real thing, you know, if you, whatever you believe, that's your existence.
Speaking of world championships, you fought one time, like I alluded to, for the world title against one of the pound-for-pound greats, Guillermo Rigondeaux. Obviously, it didn't go your way. You broke your jaw. He broke your jaw. Can you tell us about that experience at all? And how, I mean, because now, I mean, obviously you've gone on, you just beat Lee Wood in a very close fight in the MTK Golden Contract, the semifinal, then you beat Ryan Walsh. So you've been through some very, very tough fights. Do you think this is putting you in much better stead for Saturday night?
Yeah, definitely being here on the experience, the occasion. I feel like I'm better adapted to the occasion, you know what I mean? To enjoy it and to not go through it with a snarl and to think, fuck sake, who are you looking at? And is someone want to fight me today? I know I'm not going to fight till Saturday. I'm going to be relaxed and calm, and all them little experiences, they help you along the way.
Yeah, I believe that they do. But what are the key takeaways that you kind of, from these fights, coming into Saturday, in your mentality, in your game plan, like what, is it both? Is it the mentality and the game plan that changes because of the experiences that you've had? And if so, how?
Well, I've never like really thought game plans. I think when a game plan goes wrong, it was a shit game plan. When it goes good, even if you never had one, it was a fantastic game plan.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? Coaches take too much credit for what's actually going on in there sometimes when they talk about game plans. You know what I mean? I get it, game plan tactics. Basically doing what you're best at. And you're not you're stupid if you're not doing that anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I don't look too much into game plans. It's more of a mindset and mentality of chipping away. We've all seen the picture of the guy who's got the pickaxe and he's going through the tunnel and the diamonds is so close and he turns back. Have you seen it?
I have, and it's funny you bring that up because I just did a podcast last week with Lee Wood, who I'm going to ask you about in a second, and he brought up that same exact meme. Yes.
Well, I've watched
maybe
that
maybe that's a good omen right there.
Maybe I did listen,
because he won the strap. He won the strap, so that's a good omen, man.
Well, that was it. Every time in life, when I go down, I get back up and I go further. Do you know what I mean? I've been down so many times, and there's no more further for me to go. There's no more higher level. I've been British Commonwealth and European champions, and in my last two fights, I've beat the British Commonwealth, European, and now the world title in my last two fights. So there's nowhere for me else to go other than win a world title if I'm going to keep improving. Do you know what I mean? So every time I go down, I get back up stronger, and I know that every bit of pain I've had through boxing, not pain, every lesson, every experience, it's got me that, I know I'm right there now.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting to fucking burst onto the scene and be world champion.
One thing that concerns me for you in this fight, when I watched the last fight, you're obviously a southpaw. The way Kid Galahad can switch hit and he can fight out of the southpaw stance, seemingly very effective, it almost neutralizes that southpaw advantage, if you want to call it that. It's an advantage if you use it wisely. So there's no game plan for that. It's just Fight the way you know.
I fight the way I fight. You know what I mean? I fight the way I feel. That's it. I fight the way I feel.
Do you go in maybe like the first couple of rounds kind of information gathering? Or do you go in just let's have
no,
at
it? That good fighters have to do that. You have to go in.
Okay.
Everything's, you don't go in information gathering.
Yeah.
You're in round eight thinking about information gathering because you're always setting a shot up. You're always thinking about your next move. So that's a constant thing. You can't be in there not gathering information. Right. Everything's feedback, do you know what I mean? Unless it's a one-sided beatdown and you've seen everything you can do, everything in his locker, every bit of variation that he has, then you can rein in him knowing that this left hook's coming back now, I can step back or I can lean back and then ping him again. But everything, good fighters adapt, so therefore you're constantly feeding on information, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So when you say switching, doing this and that, I don't look at it like, he can switch, he can do this to me. What I look at is there's more information. When he switches to orthodox to try this, therefore he's carrying too many ideas.
Mm.
So it's like he's forgetting about what happens when he does switch back in a minute.
Mm.
And he's thinking about what he's trying to set up now. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes you can also, I think boxing's five or six moves on repeat. And that the good fighters do the same moves over and over. We see Lomachenko, he spins out and he spins around. We love that move. But he doesn't stop doing it. He doesn't vary it. He just does it over and over and we love it. But then the only way he gets away with doing it is because he does other things to take your mind off the last move. Do you know what I mean? But when you try too many tricks, sometimes you can be a victim to your own quality.
Let's talk for a second about last week. I assume that you watched the fight.
Yeah, I did.
It was a hell of a fight, yeah?
Yeah, it was amazing. I jumped up. Yes, when Kanzi went down.
You were excited for your countrymen?
Yeah. Well, you go into it and you say you want to win.
Yeah.
But was I going to be the green-eyed monster? Was I going to carry a bit of envious jealousy there? Was I? I don't know. I wouldn't know until he got his arm lifted.
How do you have a bit of that?
We all do.
Yeah.
We lies if we said we didn't. What I'm saying, I didn't going into it.
Yeah.
But obviously we question ourselves. We're truly honest with ourselves. We have the capability to turn into the self-driven, ego-possessed, jealous people that we can be when it doesn't go how life should be on our terms. Do you know what I mean? So he's doing well. He's doing well. Texting away. Yeah, he's doing well. He's winning. I think I've got him up. The scorecards are mad. I think he's winning. Am I just being biased towards him? And then when Kanzu went down, I went, yes, do you know what I mean? So I realised at that point, no, I really want him to win. Since then, I watched the podcast with you. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've watched other interviews, and I've said this a few times, become a little bit of a fan. Do you know what I mean?
It's really hard. It's really hard to root against Lee Wood.
What a lovely fella.
He's a lovely guy.
If I knew that last year, they wouldn't have been the animosity in the build-up. Lovely, lovely man.
So what happens Saturday, tomorrow, if you win the strap?
When?
When you win the strap, if you win this, I have to say if, you can say when. If you win the strap on Saturday, would you want a rematch with Lee? Maybe a unification? Is that something that you would fancy?
I'm not going to think about it, you know what I mean? It's not something that I've got.
One step at a time.
Yeah, it's not my job. It's like, I said, we can speak on Saturday, you know what I mean? We can speak on Saturday and then it'd be a bit unfair as well. It's his moment, you know what I mean? It's his moment. This is my moment. That was his moment for me to be like, yeah, I want him now. And why I haven't got no rights to him because I beat him. Doesn't mean that. It means he went on to beat Kanzu and he was fantastic. If we fight again, we fight again. If you said to me, right, Galahad's just had an injury, would you fight him now? I'd say, let's go. Of course. But I'm not going to call him on because the fight's not made. The fight's not set up. I'll get this one out of the way. I'll go on world champion Sunday morning and we'll see where we're at then.
You're a gentleman and I appreciate your answers. The fans have some questions for you. Are you okay to answer some fan questions?
Please.
All right, wonderful. Liver Lily asks Jazza, how much influence has your manager, Tony Bellew, had on your career?
Massive influence on me career and also me state of mind in life. Just to hear him talk and know he's from the same city as me.
Do you support Everton also?
Yeah.
You do, okay.
Yeah, I'd love to emulate him and fight in Goodison.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that. When people talk about Josh Warrington fighting in Leeds, I say, no, I'll be world champion. You come and fight in Goodison, you know. But yeah, just the mindset and to understand what boxing really is and how it really works. Yeah, I've learned a lot of Tony.
Speaking of, you know, he's a great guy. I'm so excited that he's going to be there on Saturday, because if you know Tony at all, he wears his heart on his sleeve, you know, in true Scouse fashion. He says what how he feels, and I'm sure it's going to be, he's going to be over the moon watching you fight on Saturday, you know. I mean, I remember when we were watching, what was it, Usyk and Chisora, and he's on the side just screaming, yeah. You know. There's nothing like Tony when he gets into it.
It reminds me when Frank Bruno was ringside for Ben and McClellan.
Yeah.
Banging on the canvas.
Absolutely.
Impartial.
I love it. Yeah, impartial. speaking of, because he's got the great walkout tune, you come out to Salisbury Hill, right? The yeah. Peter Gabriel song?
Peter Gabriel, yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
We had 3 CDs in the house. My auntie gave us a computer. I remember the computer's that big. She got rid of an old one, and he just took it. The situation, we didn't even have the internet. We just took the computer because it was going, do you know what I mean? That's the way it is, addiction, isn't it? And there was 3 CDs, Sting and the Police, Tracy Chapman, and Peter Gabriel. So I used to listen to them in the spare room when there's nothing to do. I was the only child. And that song always stuck out. Salisbury Hill, Peter Gabriel. I don't know why. As a young child,
it hits you in the right spot.
Yeah, I don't know why that would stick out to a kid either. It's not a child song, is it? It's just, I don't know.
That's the one that does it.
That's the one that does it, yeah. And every fight of ours, that's been a song.
Lovely song. All right, Michael Warburton asks Jazza, there's been some activity on the Jazza Dickens YouTube channel lately. Is that you starting to think about life after boxing?
No, that's me starting to think about life as it is now. So many people get caught up in the past and they hope for the past back. It doesn't happen. You've got to stay with the times. You've got to evolve, and that's what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's like 10 years ago, you'd be laughter. If you were a grown man on YouTube 10 years ago, you'd be laughter, especially where I'm from. My dad and my girl laughed at me when I said I'm going to start a YouTube channel. They laughed at me. You know what I mean? And I was looking at him thinking, he's laughing at you, yeah.
And now you'll be laughing all the way to the bank.
You're taking a piss at you. You're just laughing at me. And you were like, no, we're not. But then couldn't contain the laughter. And I said, you'll see next year when everyone's got it. I said, I'm going to do a fight camp, because I'm telling you now, I'm going to document my camps, because everyone's going to be doing this. This is the future of boxing. I'm telling you now. And it is in it right now. We're doing it now. We are, you know what I mean?
We are in the future.
That's how I seen it.
That's right.
I do believe in staying with the time. So it's not thinking about my future. It's thinking about my present.
Got to adapt. All right, final question is from Benji Curtis, and he asked Jazza, I seem to remember it being quite controversial when you quit Team GB to turn pro all those years ago. Does watching the Olympics this year and previous tournaments make you wonder what might have been?
No, funny enough, no. I always wanted to be a world champion. I've seen the Olympics as a way of getting where I am now. Like, the saddest tour for me would to be staying in the Olympics. To be going the Olympics now. I'm here now, do you know what I mean? But if I was at the Olympics, I'd be thinking about being a world champion, a real world champion, not an Olympic champion. In my mind, world champion is a world champion, boxing, real boxing. So the only sadness in that would be me still being in the Olympic team. I'm so young, I had to go through that process of being on the Great Britain team, but I was bitter. Very, very bitter towards the Great Britain team. So bitter.
Why?
Because life weren't going how I wanted it. You know what I mean? My life weren't on my terms, and I weren't getting picked like I wanted to be. I weren't about me. And not that I was a brat, but I wanted to face off against these people and weren't getting opportunities to do it. And
why do you think you weren't getting the nods?
Back then, I'll tell you, because they don't want to fight me because I'm too good. Now I'll tell you, because they were invested in these people above me. You know what I mean? You grow and you learn, don't you? But
so it was a lot of politics.
From my perspective, yeah. From their perspective, business. And we're picking the man who we see suited for the job, which was Khaled Yafai at the time. You know what I mean? He's already been to Olympic Games, heavily invested. I just wanted to fight, that's it. But it's not like that. It's not like that. Any kids you're thinking that it is, they're going to get a shock when you get into that position. It's not like that. You don't just doesn't work like that. You don't put the gloves on when you feel like proving a point. There's business to this game. And the more that's financially invested, the more the web becomes of business. Do you know what I mean? So, I was bitter leaving, but it went hard. I was happy to leave because I was living as a pro, as a 19-year-old kid. I was getting paid as a professional boxer, which was I've been doing for nothing all these years. I've been training just the same, working so hard, and now I'm getting paid for it. It was strange. Do you know what I mean? My paradigm was being from a poverty background. I would blow my money thinking that my mentality comes from being skint. Do you know what I mean? I put myself back in that situation. Right, get rid of your money before your next camp so you can train hard. Not realising you can still train hard with money in the bank, you know? Do you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, you can still get up out of the bed. If the bed's got silk sheets on, you do know that. Just a mindset.
What is that? Marvin Hagler said that, right? It's hard to get up for those early 5 a.m. runs with silk pajamas.
Yeah. It's not hard, is it? It's not. It's just it is what it is. You're getting up or you're staying in. That's my mentality. You feel positive or you're negative. You're strong, you're weak. Although they are dualities, I just believe in choose one. You're going to be the fucking champ or you're going to be the bum. What are you going to be? What are you going to be?
Well, Saturday night, we're going to find out. It's a hell of a fight. Chazza, thank you so much for spending the time to talk to us. And we wish you the very best of luck on Saturday. And for the fans out there, we have a little exclusive. It's today's little exclusive, and that is that Akib Fiaz's fight with Kevin Baldespino will kick off the live action on Matchroom's Boxing Before the Bell. And it'll happen this Saturday on all the social media. So that's all we have time for today. I'm David Diamante, and we'll be back tomorrow with more Matchroom Radio.